Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain, for one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with an axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but they speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain. For as much as among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. Silver spread into plates is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz, the work of the workmen, and of the hands of the founder. Blue and purple is their clothing. They are all the work of cunning men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At His wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide His indignation. Thus shall ye say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He hath made the earth by His power. He hath established the world by His wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by His discretion. When He uttereth His voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of His treasures. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image. For his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are vanity and the work of errors. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like these, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Gather up thy wares out of the land, O inhabitant of the fortress. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will sling out the inhabitants of the land at this once, and will distress them, that they may find it so. Woe is me for my hurt. My wound is grievous, but I said, truly this is a grief, and I must bear it. My tabernacle is spoiled, and all my cords are broken. My children are gone forth of me, and they are not. There is none to stretch forth my tent any more, and to set up my curtains. For the pastors are become brutish, they have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Behold, the noise of the bruit is come, and a great commotion out of the north country, to make the cities of Judah desolate, and the den of dragons. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not, and upon the families that call not on thy name, for they have eaten up Jacob and devoured him, and consumed him, and have made his habitation desolate. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. In Jeremiah chapter 10, we have in the first section, and I have that as verses 1 through 16, we have this great contrast that is drawn. It is a wonderful contrast. It is a great contrast. It is indeed the contrast of the true and living God with the idols of men. Now, we're so much more sophisticated today than they were back in Jeremiah's day. We would never worship the stalk of a tree. We would never fall down before a tree, would we? Okay, maybe once a year. We're so much more sophisticated these days, right? We don't worship trees. We don't cut a tree out and cause it to stand up upright and deck it with gold and silver and blue and purple and then fall down before that tree and to confess, "Thou art my God." We erect other things. We erect other confidences. We substitute other things that ought not to get the attention and affection and loyalty and love that we owe to the living and true God alone. We do have our idols in this age. I believe the Master of Geneva was right when he said that our minds are a veritable forge of idols. That left to ourselves, the best thing that we ever build, best in terms of that which we put the most effort into, are our idols left to ourselves. We worship ourselves. We worship our own wills. We worship our jobs. We worship our estates. We call them after our own names, as the Lord says in the Psalms. We have many, many, many things that have risen up to the level of deification in our thoughts, in our loyalty, in our affections. Some people worship their country. Some people are required by their country to worship their emperor. Some worship gold. So, brothers and sisters, let us remember these things. That as the prophet here contrasts the work of men's hands, those false gods that are formed by men's hands, he calls the living and true God the former of all things. He is not formed. He is former. He will not be formed by men. He has formed men. He will not be likened to the creation. He has formed the creation. Some people worship the creation, right? Gaia worship is becoming more and more popular these days. And Gaia worship is really not even a worshiping of the creation, but only a very small part of the creation, the earth. But God is the former, the one who has formed all things, and He Himself is formed by none. And so we have the folly then of dressing up. And I don't know if you caught it or not, but look at all the time and the effort that people put forward to the care and maintenance of their idols. Do you understand why they do that? If they form them, if they care for them, then they get to command them. Why do people make idols and then feign obedience to the idol? Because they are obeying themselves. They are obeying their own wills. The idol that they claim to follow is the fashioning of their own hands. They give it power. And so they direct that power. But the living and true God, He is unformed. He is that. He is the one that forms all things. Notice that the prophet also calls it brutish. You know what brutish is? And I know that we've all grown up, or many of us, have grown up with Popeye. And so we think we know what brute is, right? Brutus, you remember Brutus? He was this, you know, great big burly guy that didn't care about anything. That's what a brute is. It's not what a brute is. A brute is a beast, someone who has not the reasoning capacity of men. When we begin to make idols and to follow our own wills in that way, here's an interesting experiment. I want you to watch your dogs. So just watch them sometime. And you'll find that what a dog does at any particular and given moment is he seeks out his own comfort and pleasure to, or her, whatever that thing is. I watch my dogs because when the Bible, you know, talks about being brutish, I want to know what being brutish is, so I'll know what not to do. Our dogs don't have to think about finding the shade. They find it in this hot weather. You won't find them out like people, you know, in the bright sunshine because they have something to do there in the sunshine. They don't do that. They go to the shade. When they're thirsty, they get something to drink. They don't know. They don't have a reasoning capability that says, "I'm foregoing that right now. I have something more important to do." They can't do that. Whatever their appetites tell them, that's what they follow. That's what it means to be a brute. Whatever their appetites and comforts tell them, that's where they go. I remember a friend of mine who had a dog, and we used to tease him because he would just run that dog ragged with command after command after command. And finally we would say something like, you know, Dingo, pant. You don't have to command a dog to pant, do you? You don't. They just do those things. They find whatever level of comfort they can find. That's what a brute is. It is brutish to be an idol worshiper. You're seeking your own comfort and will at any given moment. But God has created us reasonable creatures so that we can overcome such brutish tendencies. The natural man, in a sense, is a brute. He is ruled by his appetites and passions. He is a slave to them. But that's what freedom in Christ means, that we have been freed from the bondage to that brutish behavior. So then the second portion of the chapter, beginning around verse 17 and through the end, first the Lord speaks. And it is a plaintive, it's an anthropopathic complaint on the part of the Lord. He says, "Woe is me! My tabernacle is spoiled. My cords are broken." You know what it means? My cords are broken. You ever tried to keep a tent up when the tent cords are broken? The Lord says, "My tabernacle has fallen down. My people have not cared for it. The pastors that I appointed to hold up my tabernacle, what have they done? They have taught lies. They have become brutish. They have not sought the Lord, and so they shall not prosper." And then finally, what is the right response in such a day as that? Did you hear what Jeremiah said? This ought to be the prayer upon each of our lips. Listen to what he says. "O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing." You see, Jeremiah there distinguishes himself from the brutes, doesn't he? Jeremiah says, "O Lord, I know I need correction, but correct me with judgment, not in thine anger." And this, we distinguish judgment in the sense of condemnation from chastisement, do we not? Because chastisement comes under a father's loving hand. That is being corrected with judgment. Being corrected with condemnation means that the Lord gets the fire out, doesn't He? And we don't want that. So, "O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not, upon the families that have not called on thy name." You should be reminded there of Psalm 78, right? I'm sorry, 79. Psalm 79 toward the end.